What can you say? God is so good. Spirit-filled singing. I'm just humbled to be here. To be able to sit under the preaching of the Word. My heart's been enriched. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, for a minute. Then I want to go to the book of Acts. One day we'll see Him. As He is. We'll be able to thank Him like we desired all these years for what He done for us. If you'd been the only one, He still would have went to Calvary for you. I believe that. Because He cares. How could not a preacher preach with the Spirit of God so strong? You can't even think to say God's not alive. He's so alive this morning. And you and I will never die because He'll never die. I want you to look at one verse. In Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, verse number 13. The Bible said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on our responsibility as a Christian. You and I were born to serve the Lord. I'm thankful that He looked beyond our faults and He came to where we were. Jesus came to give us life and that we might have that life more abundant. There's a lot of people that start out, but they don't finish. I believe the reason that a lot of people never finish the race is because they don't count the cost. You and I will never be able to repay Him for what He's done for us. We go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night, revival nights, camp meetings time for a few hours, and we go home, and we go about our merry way doing the things that we desire. But Jesus came about the Father's business. I believe the heart throb of the Lord Jesus Christ is sinners. As I think about that preacher, that evangelist that went to the desert and he found a sinner. I believe the desert is a world. And you and I are in the world, but we're not of the world. But I think about, I believe, one of the greatest Christians, the greatest preacher that ever lived, and I long to see him someday, the Apostle Paul. I just like to sit down and talk to Him and just thank Him how my heart has been encouraged all these years from reading about Paul. And how that Paul desired to finish his course with joy. Amen. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 20. I believe that, as the pastor's already said, that we are to be the most excited people in all the world. Amen. We are to go to church, the house of the living God, with excitement in our soul. Yeah. As that Ethiopian left that desert, he was shouting. He was rejoicing in his spirit. Amen. We most of the time go to the house of God, Brother Blue, I believe we're so far away from God that we can't even sense the presence of the Most High in the house of God. But I believe that we are to go to church, as Brother Shepherd preached so faithfully the other night, that I believe we are to desire to go to worship. Amen. And we shouldn't be in no hurry to leave. We are to go to get in. Amen. I believe if we had the joy in our hearts like the Apostle Paul had, I believe we could do it. But I believe the Apostle Paul was determined that he was not going to allow anything to hinder him from being about the Lord's business. And I believe with all my heart, as the preacher said last night, Brother Blue, so faithfully, that I believe that we are to deny self. I believe the Apostle Paul did deny self. I believe the key to his Christian walk with God was that he was not his own. We're living in an hour today, we still want to be the boss and dictate our own hearts. But I believe the Apostle Paul had something. We ought to search for it and just keep on keeping on till we get it. And when we get it, we ought to rejoice like we've never rejoiced before. I want you to look at verse number 24. I'll just back up for just a minute. I don't want to take no more of my time that's allotted to me. But I want you to look what Paul had to say in Acts chapter 20. Look what it said here in verse number 15. It said, "And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Troium, and the next day we came to Melita." For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from others, he was sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the line and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Anoint thy servant, dear Lord. Clear my mind. Allow me to be a blessing. I desire this morning to glorify thee in my being, I desire today to encourage somebody today to get greater in a walk with Thee and to desire to be more like Thee and to love You as we should. So, Lord Jesus, speak this morning to our hearts. Encourage us to leave here for a greater desire to be more like Thee. And that people can honestly say, we've been with Jesus. So, Lord, have Your will and way and bring now to remembrance things, spiritual things, biblical things, doctrinally things that might glorify Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul is coming to the end with these Ephesian believers, the elders there. And with tears, knowing in his own soul that this would be the last time that he would ever see them. He knew where he was going. A lot of people don't know where they're going. But the Apostle Paul knew where he was going. And he knew what was required of him. A lot of people today are living like they don't even think that God has any right in their life. But I know this morning without a shadow of doubt, my life's not mine. I owe my life to Him. As the preacher talked about the blood last night, it was His precious blood that was shed freely at Calvary for me. Thanks be to God it wasn't spilt. He willingly gave every drop of blood for you and I. And the Apostle Paul knew where he was going. He knew what his mind was on. His mind was stayed on the Lord. Our minds drift too much today. So many people today are so unstable. So many people today, one day they're on a mountain. The next day they're in a valley. And sometimes they just don't even know what's going on. But I do know one thing. Paul believed God. And Paul, in his own heart, he bled to be more like the Lord. To know the Lord is to love the Lord. To know the Lord is to serve the Lord. Because there's no greater friend. There's no greater person in this world that can excite our soul more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the Apostle Paul was trying to encourage those believers and those elders that, hey, I'm leaving and wolves are going to come in. Apostles setting up. And I want you to know that you need to be on guard. The preacher talked about watching. We need to watch because the devil's at large. And the devil's trying to distract. He's trying to destroy the home. If he gets a home, he'll get the church. And I believe the Apostle Paul, in his last few days, however many, I believe the Apostle Paul had his mind set on going to Jerusalem. Heard a preacher so faithfully the other day, as he visualized the Apostle Paul walking down that hallway. And he knew he could see in front of him. He could see that blade that it would come down upon his head. I believe God gave him dying grace. But I believe the Apostle Paul desired more than anything in this world. He wanted to finish his course with joy. I don't want to live in a walk of life that I can't rejoice in my spirit. You can't rejoice in here these days that God's in this place. There's something wrong. And the preacher ought to so excite us. How could we bypass last night when that dear man of God preached his heart out and showed us Jesus dying on the cross for us? I believe the Apostle Paul had it together. And I believe the Apostle Paul knew that the sail was waiting. I believe the Apostle Paul knew that there was going to be some great pressure on him. And that he knew the devil was going to be on his back. But the Apostle Paul had something that I believe we need to gather. And I believe that we need to take a walk in the wilderness with God. We need to find that closet and lock ourselves up. The preacher had it the other night. What greater message could start this meeting than we need the power of God on our life? People go to church on Sunday, the preacher, the Word of God, it never bothers them anymore. Some preacher said the other day, he said, Brother Larry, it ain't like it was, young brother. We should talk about how it was when they was in Bible college. Today, we're living such an hour, folks. Men of God, today, our hearts today are broke. Our hearts are burned because our people never get the light that they really need in their direction of life. The Apostle Paul could not snuff out that voice. He couldn't sidestep that light because he met a man on the road that he had never met up with before. And I want you to know when you meet Jesus, it'll never be the same no more. Because Jesus Christ came to give us something that the world can't give us. But I want to focus here on what was it that caused the Apostle Paul to have desire the joy of the Lord. Don't pretend it. Because you know why? Because somebody needs God.
Yes,
somebody needs the Lord. And somebody must have Jesus. They're going to burn in hell forever and ever. We're living in such a world that where hell today is used more as a slang and a cuss word today. It don't grip our dying souls today. I mean, just think about how helpless, worn to the ground we were. But the Lord looked beyond us. And the Lord came and willingly drank that cup. Brother Eisen, preacher friend of mine, preached years ago at New Hope Baptist Church for Brother John Hardy. And he preached on that cup. And Brother Eisen, a compassionate man. And he just wept and wept and wept as he preached on the anointing of God that night there at Brother Hardy's at New Hope Baptist Church in Calvert City. And he said as he looked in there, I mean, he had to stop several times. And because you know why? He couldn't compose himself. Because he said, I visualized looking at that cup and seeing myself and my sins. But we're living an hour today. It's like God owes us a favor for saving our hell-bound soul. You better never forget what He did for you. And I don't believe Paul forgot. And I believe Paul, as he fought a good fight. Brother Sutton was with us in our preacher's fellowship. And he talked about passing with a good grade. Passing with not a bad F, but some good F's. Talked about you better flee from the things that will hinder you from having the joy of the Lord in your soul. David knew what it was in Psalm 51. He had a bad spirit. His heart was dirty. He prayed out to God Almighty, Lord, renew a right spirit in me. Give me a clean heart that I can show sinners the right way. You can't show people the right way when your heart is so dirty. And our minds are so cankered to the filth of this world. But I think about Paul. And I think about he was truly a man of God. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to go around and advertise that you are a man of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. Them Ephesian believers, they wept. They wept because they knew Paul was a man of God. They knew. He kneeled down and prayed with them. He knew he wouldn't see them no more. But in his heart, there was a desire. And that desire was to be like Jesus. His desire was to leave a good word behind. I mean, hey, he fought every battle, the devil. I mean, the devil fought him. The devil tried to beat him down. People waited and wait for him because you know why? They didn't want a man of God around. But I'm going to tell you something. Those Ephesian believers, they love that man of God. And I believe they didn't know what in the world they were going to do without him. But you know what? With weeping and with a burden on his heart, the Apostle Paul said, I just want to finish right. Amen. There may be somebody I walk out here today. You have a desire to finish right. Lot didn't finish right. Demas didn't. Demas didn't finish right. King Saul didn't finish right. They may start it out. People start out on fire. There may be some in here, you remember the night you got saved. You remember the morning you got saved. You wanted to turn the world upside down. But the devil sent somebody by and killed your spirit. And somebody come by and look at you wrong. And it's because somebody didn't agree with you. You know what? The devil got you down. And you know what? You're out yonder trying to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. You know why you're not there? It's because you have no desire to finish right. To get a full reward. The book of John talks about you got to finish right. But there were some that started out maybe a little rough, but they finished well. Ruth didn't start out real well, but she finished well. Peter didn't start out real well, but he finished well. Thanks be to God that I believe all my heart what the brother said that night, I still believe. I believe Saul of Tarsus got under Holy Ghost conviction at the feet of Stephen. And I don't believe he got over it. And some of you can give testimony, just like me. We know where it happened. You better know where it happened. I'm more concerned about the place. And I am the time, but I just about know the time. But I'll tell you what, I've been saved now almost 50 years of my life. And I can go back. It ain't no age limit. Holy Ghost of God preached the Word of God to my soul. And I mean, I got under Holy Ghost. Under Holy Ghost conviction. And I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't get away from it. It just is strong every night I went to church. Every day of my life. I mean, my heart was so bogged down. Because I knew I was dead in trespass and sin. I want you to know that if you, like the brother said for the whole while ago, if we really can see the price that was paid and the preachers preached it so faithful, if we really could see that hell bound we were, hell deserving, so helpless, worm to the ground, if we really could see how bad we were, we'd gather some joy. And the joy is that I believe that this meeting can set us in such a way that we could live the rest of our life just bathing in the sunlight of God. His brother, some of them, Brother Hall, comes to our place and preaches. And some of my people, the song leader, and some of them say they loved how Brother Hall there, just in our prayers, because he gets up preaching, he'll just throw a golden nugget out. I want something, a crumb from the master's table. I tell you, I was out of town the other day, and there was a man, a preacher, got up and sung, a missionary, and he got up and sung about Lodibar. And I'm going to tell you, the place come unglued. And I'm going to tell you, people were crying out to God and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for giving me. Thank you, Lord, making me a new creature. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for calling me to preach. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that I can be a witness of your saving grace. Really, I'm as guilty as anybody else. A man of God should never have to get up and ask any of us to give a testimony. This radio station ought to go crazy, the people out there listening. God's people shouting, praising God, and getting up and thanking the good Lord. I tell you, it can have an effect upon somebody. But you know what, folks? I believe the Apostle Paul disciplined himself. I believe the Apostle Paul desired, he didn't count the things of this world great in his sight. I believe the Apostle Paul laid his whole being down at the mercy seat of God. And I believe with all of my soul, there was something, something that we should desire. If they told you there was gold out yonder, you'd get out there and try to find it. They tell you right now, if there's money on every tree around here, they the hole wouldn't have nobody hardly left here to preach to. Everybody run out there and grab a hold of them tree leaves and get that money off of there. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something more this morning, more important in the life of a child of God
than what the world can give.
And that's
a joy in our soul. Thank God for that unspeakable joy. Thank God for that peace that passeth all understanding. But the Apostle Paul, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "My meat is the meat of God. My will is to be in His will. My will is to finish what God has asked me to do." Jesus never sidestepped His Father. Jesus never got ahead of His Father. Jesus was obedient. Jesus respected the authority. I believe the Apostle Paul respected the authority of God. And I believe the Apostle Paul was not ashamed to be called out on. I believe the Apostle Paul, when we talk about giving testimony, I believe the Apostle Paul desired, he looked for ways to be able to tell people what happened to him on the road to Damascus. I remember years ago, a preacher came to our place when I was at Central Baptist Church in Bardville, Kentucky, for a couple of short time in between pastoring. And there was a preacher who came, and he was talking about old Bob Jones Sr., talking about his son leading him to the pulpit. And Bob Jones Sr. get up there, and all he could tell you was, "I remember the day. I'd like to tell you about the day. I'd rather not have any mind but one thing on my mind. And that is to tell people when I got saved by the marvelous, matchless grace of God." I believe that God gives us a place, a refuge. I believe God gives us an oasis where we can come to. This is a great time for us preachers. This great time for men of God. This great time for families to come. I remember years ago going to Sand Mountain where Brother Sutton, Brother Billy Goosby so faithfully preached every year, and Brother A.C. Derham down there. And I'd love to take my family down there every August. And I remember hearing them men of God preach. And one time we had Fred Vault come to the New Testament Baptist Church, and he held a meeting there. And I'm going to tell you, I never got over seeing that meeting. I mean, people in that church was calling out to God. People were hungering and thirsting after God. People were begging for the joy of God. I'm going to tell you, when a man of God goes to the pulpit, you can know whether he's been with God or not. And I'm going to tell you something. The greatest desire in everybody in this service this morning ought to be, I want the joy of the Lord in my soul. Paul desired that joy. David desired that joy. Do you desire that joy to finish your course with joy? I believe that he was bound to the course. Paul wanted to finish it well. And some people live, Brother Ballou, like they don't care whether they finish it or not. But on the wall in the vestibule back in New Testament Baptist Church, where I've been so faithful all these years, some here today, they got loved ones' pictures on there that's done gone on to glory from the balcony of heaven looking down on spiritual things, not wicked and worldly things. But you know what? I remember some of those, or four or five on there, left out on their time, not God's time. You can live out on God, leave out on God's time, or you can leave out on your time. Out of the will of God. Not desiring premature burials. I tell you, there is a sin unto death. But I believe with all my heart, I believe in it, that the preacher shouldn't have to say a word. I believe when we come in the house of the Almighty God, the house of prayer, it ought to be our desire of heart is, I need something. I've come to get something because I want somebody's life. We're His workmanship, are we not? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Most people can't see God from our life. But I'll tell you one thing. Wherever Paul went, he was different. Wherever Paul went, it's like one preacher said, I'll take and throw a quarter out in the street. Throw it out in the street just to get to preach. I think that's appeal. It may be, I don't think it's a quarter. But listen to me. Our desire are to want to finish our course with joy. You don't have to serve God But I guarantee you one thing. When He gets done with you, you'll want to. I can't help it, Brother Sutton. You've known Him longer than I have. But the man that licensed and ordained me, my dad died and the pastor came to the church. And I fell right there in place with him. He preached the whole counsel of God. He preached on the anointing of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's just like I was going down the road hearing a preacher preach about his daddy. He said his daddy was a whole hard sinner. That his mother, this man's wife, would go out and pray every night that her husband might be saved because she had some little boys and girls in the house. She didn't want to see her husband. She didn't want to see a drunken daddy for those kids. She prayed and she begged God, and God saved her husband. And that man got saved by the marvelous grace of God, and that man got involved in church, and for 12 straight years, that man went out of his way, going everywhere, inviting people to church, bringing people to church to hear the Word of God. I mean, he wasn't ashamed. I mean, he was so involved. And one night, there was a ruckus in the church. Somebody rose up against the man of God. And that man got up and walked to that other man and said, "He's my pastor. And until I see different, I don't want you to insult him. I don't want you to say anything against him." And that very night, the devil got on that man's shoulder and got in his head. And he walked out of church and he never went back. The devil got him. And he went straight out the door and went back to his old life of taking a drink to his mouth. And everybody in that community said, if they ever saw a man that had God in his heart, they saw it from his life. And he had a daughter named Pauline that he worshipped. And Pauline took sick. And Pauline died. And in her casket, he put both hands on that casket. And he said, "God, I don't know why you want to hurt me." And his wife walked over and put her arm around his shoulder and said, "Honey, God didn't hurt you. God's not trying to hurt you. You've walked away from God. And God's took the dearest thing of your heart to bring you back." And there were some women in the community, because he was a nice looking man, they tried every way they could to flirt with him. Every way in the world to try to get him to be unfaithful to his wife. And one day, he became unfaithful to his wife. And his son was walking out of the drugstore. He saw his daddy with that woman. And he walked up to his daddy and said, "Daddy, you told me when I was lost, you told me Jesus changed you. Now, Daddy, you tell me why you're with this woman." And my mom was home. Still washing your clothes. "Daddy, where'd you lose your joy? I'm telling you, two wrongs don't make rights. Somebody else does you wrong. That's why you are to grow in God. That you can be able to stand." There's not a man, there's not a woman in here, including any of us, that ever suffered like Paul. I can't comprehend how that man suffered. But you know what? They didn't have to pull him. They didn't have to beg him. They didn't have to plead with him to go toward that blade for his head to come off his shoulder. I want to tell you something. I don't even know, Brother Blue, if he even felt it. I believe God gave him dying grace. You know why? Because his heart was steadfast on God. There's people this morning, Brother Sutton, their hearts are not steadfast on God. They can't handle the adversity. They can't handle the storms when the winds and the rains come. They don't know how to stand. And we men of God, I want you men to preach to me. I want to be rebuked. I want the mule skinner to get up here and just wear me out. You know why? Because I need the correction of God from the Word of God. And the Word of God is not to hurt us. The Word of God is to establish us, strengthen us, that we can stand in the last days. God ain't dead. I haven't been notified that God's been dead or dead. You haven't either, Christian. But you know what? On that man died. And on his deathbed, he called his wife and all his children around him. And here's what he said. I'm saved. I had a good wife. She didn't deserve the way I've lived the last few years. The way he's lived. My wife don't deserve all this. But he said, there's one thing, children. One thing, dear wife. It don't matter what the devil does. It don't matter how far he takes me. He can't take Jesus out of my heart. He said every time he took a drink, he could see God through his son dying on the cross for him. He said, I haven't lost my salvation. I lost the joy. I lost the fellowship. But I want to die right today. He believed he's going to die. And sure enough, he did die that day. But you know what he said? I want to die right. I want to die right with my wife. I want to die right with my children, my grandchildren. But I want to die right with God. I want to be able to... Can you imagine, you know, that song, Let Me Feel... I don't ever hear it anymore. I don't even know if y'all sang it, brother. That song, Let Me Feel Your Spirit One More Time. I think about Samson as his hands to the pillars. And more was taken in that day than his whole lifetime. But you know what? He said, Lord, before I die today, would you let me feel joy in my soul? You say you can't lose joy. You can lose the joy of your salvation. David did. But I can honestly say without a shadow of doubt that I believe that Paul finished his course with joy. You know why he finished it with joy? He was determined to win Christ. We should want to win Christ. The Apostle Paul was saved. He didn't want to win salvation again. He knew the Lord and the free part of sin, did he not?
Yes.
What did he want? As I watched Brother Blue preach last night, I give all glory and honor to God. But he's a man of God.
Sure.
You don't believe that, you're not saved. Amen. And I won't apologize for that. I see him preaching the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost last night. And I, in my pew back there, my eyes glued on listening to the Word of God. I came here to get something.
Amen.
Brother Hall, he talked about Brother Ballou, a gentleman. Brother Ballou is a gentleman.
Yes, sir,
I believe Gary Hall is a gentleman.
Yes,
I've never been around Brother Hall that he encouraged me. And we don't see each other much. But he's been with an affliction. Our church, every morning, me and that deacon praying for him at 5:30 every morning.
Amen.
Not bypass. The people in the church come to the altar, brother, and pleaded before God that God would raise this man of God up.
Amen.
This church needs their pastor.
Yes, sir.
He's the man of God here.
Yes,
but I'll tell you what, that message that was preached last night, I believe the timing was perfect. God's timing is perfect. Just like Brother Sutton always says, anything about Brother Sutton, you always know that he preaches. I've heard him down Brother Allen. He's always preached on that message. He's coming on time.
Yeah.
Hey, he came on time. He's coming back on time.
Yeah.
Well, it's our time. It's our time to get the joy in our souls again.
Amen.
There's somebody you can reach that I can't.
Right.
There's somebody I can reach you can't get. But there's one thing about it. Everything that I need to sustain me is found in Him. My life hid in Christ. I want to be able to walk down the same way that I came up. And I want the same message in my heart that I came up with that I go down with. And I'm going to sit here and glean. I want to hear these men of God preach. I don't want to leave here today without something to help me. And my desire, my people know that I desire more than anything in this world. They see me all the time. They have a pastor that's not perfect. They have a pastor that makes mistakes. But they'll never have a pastor as long as they live that'll love him any more than I love him. And you know why I can do that? For only one reason, men of God. God puts love in our heart. He's so faithful. Every night has showed us that from the Word of God. But I'm going to ask you an honest question. God can't help somebody that covers their sin. But I'll tell you what. Don't know about you. But I want to finish with joy in my soul.